last night, I think there were 8,000 people there and this phenomenal orchestra, and I've got the gown on and the lippies on and I'm ready to go. And it's like, I go, no, you've been called for this.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Hello, you're listening to Premier Christian Radio. I'm Sam Hales, editor of Premier Christianity Magazine. And you've joined us for the show where we sit down with a different Christian every week and hear something of their story. I'm delighted to say my guest this week is Michelle John. Michelle John is a singer-songwriter who has performed on stages across the world, including for the former President Barack Obama at the White House and for the late Queen Elizabeth II at Buckingham Palace. Michelle has worked with Eric Clapton, Mariah Carey, Madonna, George Michael, and many other A-list stars. And Michelle was a finalist on the Voice UK TV series, where she was part of will.i.am's team. And she's since released two solo records, the most recent being God Is, recorded live in London, which is seeing the singer go back to her gospel roots. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Cool, Sam, that was an intro, wasn't it?
I hope my research is correct and is it all accurate?
I'd have been happy with Michelle from Peckham.
let's do exactly that. We like to go back to the person's sort of early life and roots. So let's go back to Michelle from Peckham. Let's start at the beginning. Tell me about life growing up in Peckham.
Oh, it was brilliant. Well, I grew up on a very sort of notorious council estate in Peckham in London, South London, Del Boy country, people affectionately call it. And the one thing I would say is it was a real community. It was all kinds of different cultures, people from all sorts of different walks of life. And there was a lovely Caribbean gentleman called Mr. Grant, and he was responsible for rounding up all the children and taking us to Sunday school. And so really, because of Mr. Grant, was my introduction to church. And I just loved it straight away because I was just one of those kids that just loved music. And something about the hymns and, you know, the organ and the tambourine, you know, we're talking, it was a real Pentecostal Caribbean church. And, you know, the moment you become, you know, an attendee, you're in the choir, you're in the Sunday school choir. And I just loved it. They just couldn't shut me up. And I love learning my memory verse, my golden text. I remember it very well. But just the music really captured me really early on, and just the energy and the vibrancy of it all. I just great memories.
It's fascinating how many people you meet in the kind of music industry who have that kind of story of music was really there at church. And so many people, and you'll know this better than me, but so many of, you know, the best drummers, the best guitarists, the bass singers, the best singers who are playing for all these incredible people we hear on the radio all the time, they learnt their craft in church. Yeah. It sounds like that was some of your story as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll get into, I'm sure, some of my history, but, you know, I loved going to all these fantastic concerts and festivals because I'd see a lot of my friends and a lot of people that I sang with in the choir, and some of my friends who were the drummers and the guitarists. And it'd be like, hey, do you know what I mean? We're friends. We're here just looking out for each other. And that was very special, very special times.
And how much of faith was at home? Were your family Christians at all, or did it all come through Mr. Grant?
Well, my grandmother was a Christian. My grandmother was a very proud member of the Methodist Church. And so she went to church every Sunday. And my grandmother was one of these people that always sung when she was cooking. And so I associate the singing with some good foods coming. And then, as I said, Brother Grant, who lived on the council estate, he invited a number of the kids, and a lot of us were from single parent homes and stuff. And my mum at the time was not a Christian, but as a result of us being a part of the Sunday school, my mum came along to, you know, we'd have like different concerts and, you know, Brother Grant would, you know, always invite the parents. And my mum did start to come, and my mum eventually became a Christian through Brother Grant. So Brother Grant really impacted a number of families on that estate. And actually, just an interesting thing, earlier this year, Brother Grant is now 99 years old. And he goes to a church in Lewisham called the Tabernacle. And I went to their Sunday service because I knew some people that were there, and they told me that he was still there. So I was able to go and just talk to him and say hi and just connect with him after the service. Mm. And do you know that the moment he saw me, he remembered my face, which I thought was astonishing. So, yeah, thank God for Brother Grant. And all plans are happening for his 100th birthday next year. So
wow.
I hope to be able to be there.
What a
wonderful story.
Yeah, that is incredible.
Yeah.
Amazing the influence of one person can have.
That they had this impact on this estate. It's wonderful. Yeah.
So tell me a bit more about your childhood and into your teens. You know, did accepting the Christian faith kind of come easily and naturally? Were there Ooh. Bumps in the road?
I think one of the bumps on the road for me was, as I said, I come from a Caribbean family, and I'm mixed race. And so as a mixed race person, somebody with light skinned, you know, being in a black Pentecostal church, I always felt like not the black sheep, but do you know what I mean? I felt the odd one out because nobody really looked like me. And I was kind of like a light skinned person, or as some people would say, I was a white person in a black environment. And so I kind of adapted. I got this nickname. It was, oh, that's the white girl that can sing. And so I'd be invited to lots of like church events and concerts and conventions. And they go, oh, there's this girl from the church in Forest Hill. Oh, yeah, that white girl, she can really sing. But for me, it wasn't a great label. And, you know, when you're kind of, you know, at that time in our, you know, sociology, you know, there weren't many people of my generation that were mixed race. I was the first mixed race person in my family. I didn't have many mixed race friends at school, as I said, in church. So it was a real identity thing for me. And it wasn't a positive thing. You know, I wanted to blend in. I wanted to fit in, as we all do. And so that really sort of tested my faith a lot, because it was an identity issue. And what people thought was a compliment had the opposite effect to me. And so then you kind of go through life, you go through school where you have this question mark about yourself, right? And that kind of was a theme in my life for many, 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 many years. And sometimes, you know, it can flag up on occasion, and I have to remind myself that, you know, I'm God's plan. I'm not a mistake. God connected my parents, you know, with the desire for me to come onto this earth and sing these songs.
Yeah.
And so I constantly remind myself of that. But as a youngster, as a teenager, you know, that can be a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Especially at such a young age, sort of wrestling with identity and how you see yourself and how other people see you.
And connect to you.
Yeah, at a time where you want to, especially as a teenager, just fit in. You don't want to feel like the odd one out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So has that continued to be a kind of almost like a lifelong working through that? Or do you feel like there have been moments where you've I guess come to peace with who you are, and has your faith helped you in that?
Do you know what? So we have our faith to kind of guide us through all of these tricky scenarios in life. But I really believe that it's also on us to do our work and our healing, and also to embrace the word and what the word reinforces in us, that you're chosen, that you're called, that before you were in your mother's womb, you were formed. Do you know what I mean? But it's on us to make that a reality and take that as truth, right? And I think sometimes, you know, that has always been the wrestle. And, you know, I know that I've been guilty where I've been on platforms with, let's say, Eric Clapton, and there's been 30,000 people in the audience. And I've in my mind, I'm going, oh my God, you know, how did I get here? I don't belong here. I don't have the qualifications. Sooner or later, someone's going to realize. Do you know what I mean? And that inner self-talk that sometimes is not always healthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go through as a mother, I've got a 26-year-old, and, you know, I like to try to be encouraging to him and with his ambitions and his goals. And sometimes I didn't give myself my own my own words of encouragement that I've been given to him and to people that I've maybe vocal coached or people that I mentor. You know, I give them all the good stuff, and I've not been drinking my own juice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's been a journey, and as I said, sometimes these voices pop up just before you go on stage, and it's like, you know, last night I think there were 8,000 people there, and this phenomenal orchestra, and I've got the gown on and the lippies on, and I'm ready to go, and it's like, I go, no, you've been called for this, like.
Yeah. I think people are always surprised to hear that from anyone who's on a stage in front of so many thousands of people. But so many of us just assume, well, when you've made it like that, and where there's the bright lights, and where so many people have paid money to come hear you sing, you must just feel confident all the time. You must just be loving every second. And of course, it's not true. And actually, just because you're in front of thousands of people doesn't mean you don't have any insecurities, does it?
No. And then the other thing is as well, don't get it twisted. You know, there are lots of people that go, wow, it's wonderful. And, you know, what you do is fantastic. But then there are also people that go, oh, she thinks that she's da-da-da-da. And, oh, they don't know that she's da-da-da-da, or she went through this. And da-da. Do you see what I'm saying? And so you have to dial down all the negative stuff. And some of it may be true. Some of it may be true. And you have to tap into God's grace and God's forgiveness and you know, God's timing, and the fact that, hey, God connected all these dots and everything I went through for me to now be able to be here and be present in grace and in humility and go, God, thank you that even me, I can be here to take this platform and to now hopefully shed some light, bring some light to the proceedings. Do you know what I mean? I don't take that for granted.
So tell me more about how you went from singing in church, in the choir as a child, to then being on stage with someone like Eric Clapton. How did that music career kind of begin, and where did that big break come?
It was an absolute accident. There's just been a series of accidents and flukes. So first thing, growing up in my church, Songs of Praise came to film at my church. I was about 13 years old. And the young lady who was supposed to sing the lead got sick. And they were like, right, we need someone to step in and sing the lead vocal on this song with the choir. And somebody like pushed me forward. Michelle could do it. And I found myself singing lead on Songs of Praise. And I mean, this is back in the day, and Songs of Praise used to get repeated like on a Sunday night, I think at like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And there just happened to be this music producer who'd come in from somewhere, some studio late night, and turned on the TV, and there was me singing with the choir in my choir gown. And this record producer got in touch with the BBC and said, I need that girl to come and sing on this track. And then, so that was my, like, my first entry into doing something in the professional world. And then just did a series of different concerts with the choir, and I sang in a group at church. And then I just happened to sing at this event, and Basil Mead, the Reverend Basil Mead from the London Community Gospel Choir, was at this concert, and he poached me. Basil came and he was like, I need you to come and sing in my choir. And I'd watched the choir back in the day on Channel 4. There used to be this series called People Get Ready, and the choir were like regulars on it. And to me, they were like celebrities. Do you know what I mean? And so it was just another accident. And then I, you know, did stuff with the choir, and we did some fantastic things. I think this year is like the 25th anniversary of The Lion King. And we sang on the original soundtrack for Sir Tim Rice and Sir Elton John. So, like, wonderful memories and things like that we did. And then again, it was like, right, we need three singers to come and back. I can't remember who it was at the time, Mariah Carey or something. I mean, it was just bonkers. And it was like, right, Michelle, you and you. And, do you know what I mean? So it was never something that I put myself forward, or I heard there was an audition and I was like, right, I'm the girl for this. It was always people going, you, they saw something in me. And, you know, thank God for those people that saw something and believed that I could do it. And I did.
There's something really lovely about that kind of coincidence or providence of people recognizing talent in you, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure you've worked incredibly hard, but not needing to just constantly push doors and try and fight your way in, and instead it sounds like doors were open for you and people recognizing, calling out in you the talent gift, they were seeing.
The gift made room for me, and we hear that phrase a lot, but it really did. And also, you know, I loved it. I love singing. I'm very passionate about it. I'm very passionate about the gifts that we're given and how our gifts can really impact people in the smallest but the biggest of ways. And so, and I took that seriously, and it was very important to me to show up and learn my lyrics and sing in harmony. And do you know what I mean? And I think, you know, excellence is important, you know, and I feel like I might not be in the church, but I feel like I represent Christ wherever I am. And if that's me singing for Eric Clapton at Madison Square Gardens, I don't leave God in the dressing room. I go, right, come on, let's go. Here we go, God. Thank you for this opportunity. Even more now than ever, I've got to bring you with me because I don't have anyone else to lean on here. So here we go.
I was going to ask, you know, can that be hard if you are away touring, away from a church community? Can it feel isolating if there aren't people around you who share your faith? And 100%. how have you managed that over time?
Do you know what? I think having people, somebody actually, this really touched my heart. I put up a post yesterday about one of the concert I was doing, and somebody put on their response, I'm covering you in prayer. Right. And that really touched my heart, because there's been many years where I felt like I didn't have the covering, and maybe people didn't understand 20 years ago, 25 years ago, like, how can you be a Christian and be on these platforms and be working with this person? Now, you know, there's so many of my friends, there's so many young people that I know that call me up and go, Mish, you know, I've been asked to do this festival, you know, what's your advice? And do you know what I mean? And now we have people celebrating us and covering us and being understanding about where we're called to. But it has been very, very lonely. I've had to get on YouTube. I've had to have my word for today in my bag sometimes. And thank God for my mum and my grandmother praying for me, and my pastor, who sometimes maybe didn't understand exactly the call, but was like, you know what, we're covering you. And so that made me feel that I was accountable. So then it's a two-way thing. And I would encourage, even if you don't understand what people are called to, you know, cover them, because then it keeps us accountable and it keeps a connection. And so that's been important to me, and that's, I think, has been my saving grace.
It strikes me that whatever career you do as a Christian, there are going to be temptations or things in that industry that aren't right. But it's interesting, isn't it, as Christians, we never sort of worry and say, oh, you're going to be a plumber. Oh, I'm not sure if Christians can be plumbers. But I'm sure there's all sorts of temptations and things that go on in the plumbing world that aren't good, you know, with your colleagues. Yeah. And yet, for whatever reason, Christians in music often are singled out, or the arts and the entertainment, film. Oh, but isn't that a bit of a dodgy industry to go into, Michelle? And how are you going to make, like, what's your take on that? You know, do you think there are probably unique temptations in the world of entertainment, but clearly you are evidence, and there are thousands of other Christians doing the same. You can be a Christian and hold your faith in the world of mainstream music.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we're not always able to, you know, walk around with our Bible and witness in the way that maybe people would want to be able to. But I think, like, I think we're supposed to be light in dark places, full stop. And that might not be always by me going, oh, let me share my scripture with you today. But actually, that might be by my attitude, or the fact that, oh, do you know what? Michelle always is positive. There's something about when she's around, she makes us feel, do you know what I mean? Or, you know, there's been people I've worked with for maybe a few years, and then something's happened and they've gone, do you know what? My little girl is going to have an operation. Would you pray for my daughter? And I go, there it is. There's the opportunity, right? And I just think that we represent Christ in whatever way that is. And sometimes that might just be smiling. Sometimes that might just be being, as I said, a positive person in the workplace. Do you know what I mean? And people will then attach it to, oh, yeah, do you know she's a Christian? And that there's also been times where people have gone, oh, Mish, we're going to blah, blah tonight. You know, we understand if you don't want to come. You know, they take the responsibility of looking after me. And that's cool as well. I appreciate it.
Which of these topics has not been covered on PremierChristianity.com? UFOs, near-death experiences, Doctor Who, Christ's return, the faith of celebrities, and Andrew Tate. Trick question. We don't shy away from any topic. We cover faith as it affects us in daily life and give you the bigger picture. PremierChristianity.com. Special podcast subscription offer at PremierChristianity.com/podcast.
Now, we need to talk about The Voice. Of course we do. 2017, a finalist on The Voice UK. You're on Will.i.am's team. I was reading, actually, that this was an opportunity they came to you with for some years. I think it was 3 years, and inviting you come on the show, and you said no for 3 years. So tell me why turn it down for 3 years, and then tell me what that experience was like.
Another accident. I'd gone to this, it was like a singer's night, it was like an open mic night, and I'd taken one of my students there, because I always encourage people that you've got to get out and sing in front of people, right? And so my friend was hosting the night, and I knew it was going to be a really good environment. So I'd taken my student, and my friend gone, look, you've got to lead by example. We need, you know, you've got to come up and sing. So I was like, okay. So I did. And there just happened to be some scouts there from The Voice. And they asked me, and they said, look, we'd love to get you on the show. And I was like, absolutely not, because I just didn't respect the whole reality show thing. I didn't. And I just thought, no, this is, you know, it always seems to be about the people that are not very good. And we all have a giggle and we have a laugh at, you know, just how not good somebody can be. Do you know what I mean? That makes good TV. And they kept coming back. And I'd got to a point in my own journey in myself. And maybe, you know, you get to your 40s and whatever, and you think, actually, I really have a desire to sing my own songs, which was kind of buried somewhere back there, somewhere in lack of self-belief, somewhere in my life taking another turn that I never expected. And, you know, maybe I should just be grateful that I get to sing with Eric Clapton, you know, every week. And is it right for me to want more? Is it right for me to want to be, is this my ego talking? You know, you go for all of these battles. And so I made the mistake of saying, right, if it comes back, then I'll do it. And it did. And so I said, all right, Lord, it's you and I, we're going. And whatever happens, I'm going to take this as a step of faith. Wherever I end up in this process or whatever happens, I'm just going to run from there. And so it was really a step of faith for myself. And I think sometimes our faith requires us to do something, to activate something. And so, hey, I'm going to announce to myself that I'm not going to be a backing singer anymore. I'm going to go after this vision, this dream that I believe God gave me, God showed me many, many years ago. And I'd written some songs and I'm just going to go for it. And also, hey, I'm going to make this announcement to 10 million people. So now I can't go back. And so that's what I did. And the moment I said yes, you know, there's no guarantees. You don't know if anyone's going to hit the button. You know, me as a professional singer, you know, singing with Eric Clapton and all these other people, there was no guarantee that anyone was going to turn. And so it was a real step of faith. And I'm grateful that I did it. And the doors that have opened for me since doing it. And, you know, Will I Am, he made this comment and he said that your voice came out and hit that button. And so I'm glad that he felt something enough to go, bosh, that was all I needed. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you just need that one thing or that one person to hear you and to go, I see you, I feel you, right, I'm going to get behind what you're doing, I'm going to support you.
You know, there's been actually quite a lot of negative publicity about some of these shows in recent years, you know, how people were treated behind the scenes, and even just the criticism of kind of manufacturing, you know, bands and artists. It sounds like your experience was pretty positive, though. I mean, looking back, what's your view on it? Because, again, some people might say, well, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, people were completely unknown. They went on a show like The X Factor or maybe The Voice and kind of became a huge sensation overnight. Now, your story is very different. You were already making a career in music. You didn't need The Voice to launch you into a music career. You're already there. But do you feel like The Voice has done a lot for you professionally? Because some people look at these shows and they say, well, you know, it's less and less impact now, and you can go on that show and frankly be forgotten the next week.
Absolutely.
And what's your view looking back on it all?
I think looking back on it all, it has definitely been a positive thing for me. And I think from the first point of you know, being affirmed as a lead singer, because everything I'd done at that point was as a backing singer. Now, believe you me, there's a very big difference from being the girl at the back in the black, you know, rocking and doing your oohs, to being that person in the front holding the show. And that comes, you know, in how you sing, how you present yourself, and also all of the stuff that goes along with it. Right. And so that's been a huge difference. And also, you know, having the branding of The Voice and, you know, being exposed to 10 million people absolutely was a help. And I mean, even in Christian circles, you know, even in the world of Christian music and the Christian entertainment and music platforms, people did go, oh, she's the woman who did The Voice. Do you see what I'm saying? So that endorsement also helped on those platforms, because people like to see success and what they see as success, and they want to connect with success, right? Let's just be honest. Let's just be real. And so it has helped me. And then for me to launch myself as a soloist, absolutely, it helped me to do that. But I think people who have done things like that, I think, then sit by the phone and go, right, waiting for Sony Records or, you know, Warner Brothers to call. And I think you have to do the work. And I think I utilize the platform, but I've also been doing the work. And I think that's been part of the key to why I've been able to do the things that I've done, because I don't have a record deal. I don't have a massive team. I just, you know, I've moved forward, and this has been a walk of faith. Actually, do you know what? I feel that I feel like in my spirit, it's time for me to do this album. Okay, who do I have around me? Do you know what? I've got a wonderful team of musicians. I know lots of great producers and some fantastic mix engineers that I've worked with. Hey guys, would you be up for working with me on this? You can only try. You move in faith and try. And if that doesn't work, then hey, you learn a lesson, and then you take it to the next place.
Yeah. And it's such an important message for people who maybe are young, starting out, wanting to have a career in music and maybe have that perception of, well, success is being signed, which of course, as you've just demonstrated, doesn't have to be a metric of success at all. No. But also more importantly, this idea that this record label will just come along, sweep me up and do everything for me, again, isn't true. You have to put the work in as an artist, and you can be successful in your own right without some of these perhaps, dare I say, old-fashioned views of what success looks like in music. I mean, how do you define success for yourself? Because anyone would look at you and say, you're a successful artist, you're a successful singer. What does success mean to you?
Right, so a couple of weeks ago, I got a message, and they said that their daughter has started school, right? I think the child was like 4 or 5 years old. And that mother was feeling like, now that my daughter's going to school, I don't know, you know, who I am and what am I going to do? And, you know, and they felt that by hearing an interview that I'd done, that I'd encouraged on the interview that it's never too late. It's never too late to get started. And success to me is being a representation of, hey, I started this solo career at the age of 44 years old. I'm in my 50s now. I'm early 50s, and I'm on this walk of faith, and I get to encourage other women. I get to encourage other people. I've got younger people that look at me and go, "Oh, she's done." Like, that is success, isn't it? You know, I part of my story, you know, growing up is, you know, I went through domestic violence. And as my journey and my marriage and, you know, going through divorce and how the church dealt with divorce. And, you know, we've learned how to be more forgiving and, you know, accept that people go through real life things, whether it's our choice or not. And dealing with that and the stigma that came with divorce and then being a single mum. And that's another stigma. It's another label. And I feel that, you know, me getting up on that stage and being like, yes, I can do this. Do you know what I mean? Dialing down all of the negativity. Oh, you know, you're a victim. You've been through abuse. You've been, I ain't got time for that right now. I need to go and sing these songs. I've got to dial this down. I've got to turn up that, yeah, I'm an overcomer. I've come through. Do you know what I mean? And that's how I like to show up. That's how I like to move. And so when other people, especially women of my age, younger women, go, wow, Michelle's doing it, to me, that is success.
Love that. I mean, you mentioned such a vital subject there of church attitudes towards things like divorce. And you mentioned you being through domestic abuse. How what would you like to see the church do in future when it comes to those sorts of issues? You're someone who's been through that, you've lived that, you've experienced that, you've, sounds like you've seen the worst of how the church can behave. What is the best of what the church could do when it comes to those subjects?
Grace, patience, kindness, understanding. Do you know what I mean? All those human things that are should be like first on the list, because understanding is necessary. That's how we can empathize. That's how we can love each other. How can I pray for you? In what way can we be of support to you, to your family? Do you know what I mean? Not shame, disgrace. Oh, I bet. Do you know what I mean? The questions, and you know what? We don't know. We don't understand what's happening, but let's pray. Let's pray for the family. Let's pray that they get the support that they need. Let's pray. Do we have counselling in church? Do we have? Are there maybe some men in the church that can rally around this man and be of support? What's he going through? How can we support Michelle and the family? How can we make sure that they're okay? Is there an elder that can be? Did you see what I'm saying? I don't think it's very difficult. I don't.
Yeah.
I just don't.
It's not difficult. Doesn't sound difficult when you put it that way, and yet clearly you've had experiences where it sounds like it's gone very wrong. So if it's not difficult, if it is simple as we need to love people better, then why did it go wrong?
But I just think we just need more understanding. You know, I see things, and you know, being in the music industry, I look at people and you see things, and you see things on social media, and sometimes we just don't ask the question. I wonder what that person's going through. I wonder why did they do that? What's going on? Do you know what I mean? And like, we're very quick to share the post and spread it and da 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 da. But sometimes, like, how many times have we prayed for that person or gone? Or how many people prayed for me when I was going through what they thought I'm doing right or what I'm doing wrong? Or, you know, she's singing for Eric Clapton. Well, that's not Christian. Well, how many people wrote to me and said, hey, Mish, I know you're on tour. Just checking on you, sending love, sending a word, or sent me a WhatsApp. Or I just don't think it's that difficult. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah. It's being mindful sometimes of the person who isn't in the room, isn't it, on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Thinking, I've not seen that person in a while.
Yeah.
I hope they're okay, and reaching out. And, you know, I think it's a challenge to all of us, isn't it, to think who's not in the room and who needs encouraging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'd love to chat about the brand new album. Very exciting. It's called God Is, recorded live in London. And I said at the beginning, it takes you back to your gospel roots. So I imagine that must have been a joy and a treat to, as you say, you've done incredible work in the mainstream with some of these names we all know, George Michael, Eric Clapton. But there must be something quite special for you personally in getting to go back to those songs, perhaps from your childhoods, that have been so full of faith and had such profound impacts on your life. So tell me a bit more about it.
I think sometimes, like, we all get caught up and, like, you can get on this kind of, like, this rat race of survival and trying to achieve this and da 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 this and, you know, showing up and da 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 da. And sometimes we don't take a minute to go, whoa, look at where I've come from. Look where God has brought me. Look where I am, this girl from from Peckham. What? And so I just had this thing early this year where I just was in a real reflective place of, wow, look where I am, look where God has brought me from. And I was just, these songs just started opening up in my mind. My memory just started opening up. And I lost my grandmother like a couple of years ago. And just some of the songs that I shared with my grandmother when she was sick, and I would sing to her some of these songs, and she would remember, you know, the lyrics and stuff. And so it just kind of put me in this real place of like thanksgiving. And what happened was I moved home, And so my church that I grew up in became my local church again. And so my drummer, I used to sing in the choir with his mum. And so there's all this history, right? And so I said to him, I've been recording another album, and I just put it to one side, and I just felt that I just had this real like nudge that it was time for me just to stop and just to go back and say thank you. And I started to write it down and think about the songs. And the first song that came was God Is. And the reason why that song came up was because my home church, when I was about 10 years old, the choir, this is a really old gospel song, and the choir sang it one day, and I was sitting in the pews and I had a real moment. And I don't know what it was, if it was the goosebumps and I had an emotional reaction to the song, and just something about how the ladies sang it and the choir sang it. I just had this like real spiritual wow moment. And it was that kind of made me want to go, whoa, like, who is this? Who's this Jesus that I've been singing about? Do you know what I mean? And it was like a real awakening moment. So I knew that was that song had to be on the album. And so I just started thinking about, you know, the songs my grandmother would sing in the kitchen, and some of the hymns I sang as a kid, and, you know, in school assembly. And so it just started to take on a life of its own. And so we went into the church, and into the church office, and got with one of the musicians at the church, and we just started working it through. And literally within 4 months, we'd recorded the album, everything. It was just like the cork came off. Do you know what I mean? And it just started to flow. And then I spoke to my friend who's a mix engineer, and he said, yeah, we can get this studio. And it just, and I really feel that God just put all the pieces together, because it just flowed so beautifully. And all my friends that I asked, are you available? Can you come and play on it? And it was just, it just flowed together. And so we did it live. We did it old school in the studio. We invited in some friends and family so they can come in and worship with us and sing along with us. And that's the album.
It's the album.
Yeah.
It's called God Is by Michelle John. It is out and available now on all the usual streaming platforms, yes, and places. And there's a fantastic little behind the scenes video on your YouTube channel as well, which, yeah, I enjoyed watching, which gives you a real sense of you're in church and story, this is about, yeah, about God. And it's these absolutely classic gospel songs.
Yeah.
It's funny. We're actually just talking literally 2 days after I was at the Premier Gospel Awards at Royal Festival Hall.
Yes.
And it was an incredible night celebrating the music, the culture, the message.
Yeah.
And there's been so much talk among my colleagues at Premier Gospel and at the Royal Festival Hall at the weekend of how gospel music has this unique ability to cross boundaries. And we saw this at something like the Royal Wedding, where the Kingdom Choir were performing for Harry and Meghan's wedding. That for whatever reason, gospel music can cross over into the mainstream in ways that other Christian music just don't seem to be able to do.
Yeah.
What do you make of that? I'd love to hear your views on that as somebody who is singing gospel, is also singing in the mainstream. What is it about gospel music that it connects with people of all backgrounds and beliefs? It doesn't have to stay in the church. It has this incredible ability to reach out, doesn't it?
It really does. And I just think, like, gospel music is, it's all about like freedom of expression. And I think, like, as I said, growing up in the church as a child, you were always encouraged to express the music, express the song in the way that is right to you. So that already makes it personal. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, What a glory he sheds on our way. Now, that's the melody, right? But I might feel like when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. That's just how I feel it today. So there's something about me putting my own expression, my own experience on it that to me takes it off the page. And I think that's what people then feel. They go, she's tapped into something. There's something she's tapped into there that means it's real for her. And I think that's what it is. I don't know if that makes sense, but
that makes all the sense in the world. It really does. There's something about that feeling, as you say, of freedom, yeah. And that ability. I mean, I love what you say there, and I love hearing your voice. I was turning you up in my headphones as you were singing. But that ability, and I guess it's true of all singing, but to really not just sing the words, but to put that passion into your voice as you're singing those words. And what greater reason than to put passion into you singing than God and your faith and that motivating the way we sing. And I think there's application for all of us, even people like me who can't sing, to sing with real meaning, yes. And freedom on a Sunday or any other day of the week, because of what God's done. So there's definitely, I'm with you. Awesome. I'm on the same page.
I was so gutted I missed the Premier Awards, because those I had been invited actually, but because obviously I'm away and I didn't get to be, but I love seeing a lot of the videos. And as you said, Sam, like what's so encouraging to me is seeing all these different genres of music. And it makes some of us that are like, you know, the olders feel like, yeah, like we took the judgment, and, you know, so that people could have the freedom to be in these arenas and be in these venues and, do you know what I mean? Do what we kind of took the flack for.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful to see. It really is.
That's great. I love that. Sadly, we are completely out of time, which is such a shame.
That's cool, got it.
Not least because I was really enjoying hearing you sing, and I feel like we should have made more time for that. But never mind. There will have to be another opportunity to get you back on here at Premier, Michelle. It's been an absolute joy to hear some more of your story, your life, and of course talk about the latest album. It is called God Is. It is available now wherever you get your music from, and do check out Michelle John in all the usual places on social media. Michelle John, thank you so much for being my guest today.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Sam. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.